Testing? Okay. Welcome to the closed session for Thursday, April 6th. I'd like to read from the agenda, just into the record. Am I too close to the mic?
No, just be careful.
Okay. This is the announcement of closed session items. Does everybody have an agenda? I'm going to read just the headings on the agenda and let you follow along on the agenda. So the first item is pending litigation. Government Code 54956.9A, Conference with District Counsel for Existing Litigation. And there's about 10 cases that are listed on the agenda. And actually, there's 15 cases listed on the agenda under Item A. So, Item B is Anticipated Litigation, Conference with District Counsel under 54956.9B. Anticipated Litigation, we have two cases. Okay, anybody would like to speak during public comment for closed session? Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. In general, I am not convinced as to the effectiveness of the legal counsel of this Los Osos CSD. The Measure B-05 hearing was an embarrassment. The ineptness of the arguments and the ease of which the judge was able to lead counsel away from the argument at hand showed that the case for Measure B-05 was not well thought out and was weak, to say the least.
Everybody?
I'll be surprised if Measure B is upheld. In my opinion, if Measure B is struck down in the courts, an appeal would be a waste of time, which is a very precious commodity, and money. At this time, we would do better to let it go so this board can move forward in citing the system of its own choice without the yoke that Measure B has become. This board can narrow the scope for the facilities update towards one system on the property of its choice. In this way, the time and money spent for this update can be minimized. CDOs. I have been looking at the exemptions to CEQA and the exceptions to those exemptions and have come to the conclusion that the exemptions are not valid under CEQA and that the Regional Water Quality Control Board must either present a negative impact declaration or an EIR, to the proper agencies before the conditions of the pumping of the septic systems can be carried out. These exceptions to the exemptions, as well as the statutory legislative intent and guidelines as stated throughout Title 14, Chapter 3, Article 1 through 20, clearly state that any project that has a significant effect on the environment and the health and economic welfare of the community are not exempt for administrative purposes, and that activity that affects the air, water, and ambient noise do not have an exemption from CEQA. I have just finished some extensive research in this area, and we'll be filing that information with the Regional Water Quality Control Board as an interested party. My hope is that both legal counsel and the GM for this board has found these same exemptions to the exceptions. Thank you. The exceptions to the exemption. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Barrow?
Good evening. What a beautiful day it was, huh? Everybody's dry for a change. It's great. My name is Al Barrow, and my comments have to do with Julie Biggs Law Firm and the lawsuits. Specifically, they were arguing Measure B in court this week, and I understand the reports that I have is that we didn't fare well. And I don't understand that because I need to make comments, corrections, whatever. But my understanding from other people that had been there was that Our representative didn't represent us very well. And my concern is this, is that Gail McPherson and myself, Lisa Schicker, and Steve Sawyer spent many meetings, conference calls, ironing out all the legal wrinkles in that so that we would have a virtual court.
And certainly, one never knows. I think that if the parties who are concerned were to read the pleadings, you would have an entirely different perspective because the arguments are there and the position is clear. But as everyone knows, we've not been terribly successful in the San Luis Obispo court system. And some of that, you know, I don't care to characterize the judiciary in any negative light, but there certainly is a long history in this community of this being a serious and controversial dispute, and that cannot help but affect some of the thinking on the part of the court.
Thank you, Mrs. Biggs. Director Tecker?
Mrs. Biggs, maybe you could give an outline of what happened, and just that there was no ruling this week.
That's correct. There was no ruling. The judge heard from both sides as to the arguments on Measure B, and the judge did, in fact, go well beyond Measure B. We were somewhat disappointed by that because Measure B, of course, only comes into play if there is a proposal for a new facility, and yet the entire discussion had to do with all kinds of things beyond that. At the direction largely of the court and certainly of the plaintiffs in that action, we will be having some kind of a ruling, according to the judge, by April 14th. And at that point, certainly the board will need to make a decision as to how it wishes to proceed.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. You know, I wish I had been there, but I got that work thing that gets in the way. You know, it's a possibility that, you know, there's the way that it's constructed is that the judge could allow some portions of Measure B to stand. So, I mean, it's not just dead and, you know, completely. But I understand that Ms. Okun was at a hearing and handing notes again and doing that whole thing, which was not a party to the action and why she was there. I just don't get it. I working against this community, just like the old board doing what they've done to this community regarding freezing the funds, had they not started the project, even though we would have been in financial strain, possibly could have gotten the bond money, probably would have had the money to go ahead and start another project, but they just screwed you and this community by doing that. It was my understanding at the hearing for the funds that our attorneys actually posed a question not knowing what that answer would be, and that's concerning the land. Had we left it alone, it wouldn't have been included. And I just think that, you know, we should really focus on saving money in this community, and nothing against Ms. Biggs. I have a great respect for her. It's just that, you know, maybe have Mr. Seitz in here or whatever to just save this community some money, because we are strapped for money. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Morgenson?
Richard Margetson. Three things I want to talk about. Challenge to a debate on the dissolution, but that's another subject. The Lori Okun matter bothers me again greatly. She's paid by every citizen of this community, every citizen of this state pays her salary. She's the lead attorney for the prosecution team. She was the lead attorney during the ACL and sat at the lawyer's table at the first taxpayer watch hearing. This time, at least she had the courtesy to sit behind the railing when she was passing notes. And then I want to, maybe this is just advice or observation on my behalf, on my part. The lawsuit about the freezing of the funds with Barnard and Monterey, a deposition and a declaration were used, one by Mr. Blesky and one by Pat McClanahan, the administrative service manager. I think you need to, in your appeal, do everything you can do to refute the statements that are in this declaration. I want to read a couple of them, and I know exactly how silly some of this is. The first one is, as district administrative service manager, I am the person most knowledgeable regarding the district's finances. Second one, as the district's administrative service manager, My duties include administration and oversight of the district's finances, loans, bank accounts, accounts payable, preparation of the monthly financial statements, and yearly budget. Additionally, my duties include the duties of risk manager and human resources manager. Third one, as part of my duties, I personally prepare the district's annual budget. While we know the history in this community on the budgets and the finances and the administration and the administrative draws from the departments to the district, if she's responsible for all that, then you should call her on it when you go back for appeal, because I'm sure she can't explain any of it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak during
Madam President?
All right, Mr. Bleski.
If members of the public are interested, that I believe it's section 9100 of the government code, or there is a process through the State Bureau of Audits to file complaints under the whistleblower laws of the state for those folks that give state services that may provide economic gain to private parties. And that, if you do a Google search on the internet and just do California State Bureau of Audits, and then when you get on the website, hit whistleblower, it'll take you right to the forms and the site and the process.
Thank you. Mrs. Banks, did you have something?
No, I believe that. Okay. Other than to say that we are, of course, pursuing the appeal on the funding lawsuit, the preliminary injunction, and there is a hearing tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We have filed an objection to the proposed order, and there's a hearing tomorrow morning. I believe it may just be telephonic, but that will be occurring tomorrow. We'll have further word at that time.
Oh, do you know what courtroom? Mrs. Biggs, do you know what courtroom that is by any chance? Were you told?
The courtroom for that is Judge Piquet's court. I'm not sure what the department is. But as I said, I expect it will be a relatively short encounter.
Okay, great. Thank you. Closing public comment for a closed session, and we'll re-adjourn at 7 p.m. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming to the Thursday, April 6th special meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board. Our first item on the agenda is to report out a closed session. This is a special meeting, but first we're going to report out a closed session. Mrs. Biggs.
Yes, the board met in closed session on the various matters set forth on the agenda, including pending litigation, anticipated litigation, potential initiation of litigation, and real estate matters, and there was no reportable action taken on any of those matters.
Thank you, Mrs. Biggs. Does anybody on staff or board have any short announcements to make before we start the meeting? Okay, we're going to get right into it. This is a one-item agenda, and the agenda is all about hiring Mr. Ripley. So I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Miller. And he is going to give the presentation this evening.
See if we can get this to reach here. Thank you, Madam President. We'll see if we can get this up on the screen. All right. May need to focus that a little bit there, unless you can all focus your eyes. Thank you, Dan. Just a brief background for those who may not have been following this process. In our last regular meeting on March 23rd, we considered three consultant teams and discussed which team we would select for the purpose of negotiating a firm scope of work and a project fee. And during that meeting, the board selected the Ripley Pacific Company. And this is for the update of the wastewater facilities project report. We've talked a little bit about the critical nature of this report. This is the effort that will define the project. Project that has a treatment facility located out of town, maximizes the reuse of water in order to sustain our yield of our basin, and then, of course, looking at the collection system again in terms of step stake. So tonight, instead of going back through the entire RFP process, I thought we would just focus on the nuts and bolts, which are what scope and at what cost we worked out over the last couple of weeks. We do have the Ripley Pacific team here, well represented by Tom Rohr, Dana Ripley, Bauman Sheik, and they're available to answer questions here tonight. So we, given that this is the one item on the agenda, we would expect that this would be very interactive and would be happy to answer questions and work on specifics as the evening goes on. I'm providing a short summary of the different tasks that were ultimately selected for the final scope of work and the cost for each task, just so you can get a sense for how the spread of cost adds up. The total price tag on the effort is about $513,000, and how that adds up is as follows. Project management, that primarily is the consultants, prime principal managers attending meetings, preparing monthly status updates, keeping the project moving forward. It's a component of any major consulting project, so that falls within about a 10% range, and that's typical for a project of this nature, so that's project management. Public involvement, that is the preparation of presentations, displays, attendance at public workshops, and all the elements related to involving the public so that they understand not only the decisions that are made in the final report, but bringing the public all along the way as sites are selected, as criteria are set up to select a project. We want to bring the public along and have a chance for input. So there's a budget that's been set aside for public involvement. And then you get into the meat of the analysis, the engineering analysis, starting with wastewater collection. Now, as many of you know, we have various types of collection systems that have been under discussion. The gravity collection system is what was proposed in the old project. The cost of that is very well defined. We have actual bid prices. We've been in construction. We know what the county's requirements are for street repair. The only thing that would need to be added to that analysis is the cost of putting a pumping station over here and then a pipeline east of town to get to the water east of town. So that is very well defined, and there's a very minor effort in looking at gravity collection because those numbers are already well known. Most of that $64,000 for that task is focused on an estimate of step stake, and that is re-looking at the cost for the individual homeowner, looking at the cost of the pipes in the streets, the benefit to the treatment system downstream as part of the other tasks, but that's included in the overall analysis. So a full look at step stake is in that wastewater collection task, and then that will be compared off against the gravity system. Really, it's the same scope of work that was contemplated in the RFP for the collection system. Treatment plant site location, this is one of the more urgent tasks and one that will be attacked in a very aggressive schedule. Actually, within 5 weeks, the consultant's proposing to have some information on site selection, and so we have a very aggressive schedule on that task. And that is first a scan of all available sites, but the consultant's is to narrow down two sites for more detailed analysis. That's something that we talked about when we got the RFP out, that we'd look specifically at two sites after we do a pre-screening of all available sites. And so that's the focus. We'll even go so far on those two sites of even looking at things like easement encumbrances, so that if there is something like, you know, the Andre power lines, that will pop up in our easement investigation on treatment plant site location. So a significant effort will be spent there. A related task is treatment technology, and that is, of course, integral to looking at site as well, because that affects footprint. And we'll be looking at various ponding technologies, from the Nelson pond system to BioLac, which is a technology that was developed by the Parks Corporation. That's more similar to conventional biological processes, and there are several plants in California that are operating with BioLac that are removing nitrogen. So we'll look at that. We'll, of course, have the Tri-W technology, the MBR technology, to compare against, and we have other technologies that we're looking at in the scope of work. So we'll look at treatment technology. It should be noted that when we're looking at treatment, we're going to keep in mind wastewater effluent disposal. When we can use wastewater effluent for agricultural purposes or for irrigation purposes, we don't have to meet as stringent of a nitrogen requirement, because plants, of course, enjoy nitrogen and need it for a fertilizer. So part of the treatment plant analysis will be looking at the interplay between disposal and the need to remove nitrogen in treatment. So that's something that we've been looking forward to examining for some time. Effluent water management, that is your ag exchange component, your reclaimed water component. And, of course, we do have lots of information on the old disposal system, which is a percolation disposal system as a backup. But we really want to advance the science and the analysis of ag exchange as part of this effort. And we have, in Bauman Sheik, one of the foremost experts in California to help us do that. So you see, that's a fairly major effort. Reclamation and reuse sites, we'll be looking at reclamation opportunities in terms of site-specific opportunities, both in the agricultural world and also, of course, sites that are in town. The reason this effort's fairly modest is this has been looked at before, back in your water master plan in 2002, looking at reclaimed water use for in-town sites. Winter storage, if we have a reclamation project that's going to maximize the reuse of this water, we need to do something with the water during the winter period, and storage is one of the prime options for that. We need land for it, we need siting analysis, and so that'll be part of the equation here. Once the project is defined, presented to the public, and the board selects a project, we're going to get into some very detailed project scheduling and a detailed project budget. This will be our roadmap from going from a concept all the way through construction. Everything from a 218 vote, if it's necessary, funding, CEQA compliance and challenges, everything that we can forecast will be within the project schedule and project budget. So that's a task that will happen after we're complete. The consultant did propose, it's a minor task in terms of fee, but it could be significant in terms of the benefit to the community. They want to take a look at a phased approach, and really that's answering the question, okay, we have a project, now how do we connect the community over time? Do we just do all, 2,500 people at a time? Do we phase it in a little bit more creatively to take advantage of the revenue stream that we create as we phase, and over what period of time can we pull that off? So that's the phased approach that we're going to be looking at. And then the independent cost review, that's something that we wanted to see, actually getting a third party to come in and validate the cost numbers that we come up with. We put a budget in that for independent cost review. And really that's the full scope of the project. We're looking at, again, a $513,000 effort, and you can see how that's split up into the various elements. Our desire from a board standpoint is to discuss these various elements, and tonight, if we can, to reach closure on what we're going to ask this consultant to do. Staff will work feverishly to put that in a contract form in the next 2 days, and we want to be ready to do a kickoff meeting and sign a contract on Tuesday. So we really want to move fast here and hit the ground running. Obviously, if the board needs more time, we understand, but the project schedule is very aggressive, and for every week that we slip, it'll be slipping the end date, not the beginning date. So with that, I know we have, I'm sure, plenty of questions, and I'd be happy to begin answering them.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. We'll open it up to the board. Well, sorry. Reverb. Closer? Okay, how's that? Better?
Yes.
Okay. Feedback. Okay, opening it up to the board for questions at this time. Does anyone have any questions on the proposal? The consultants are in the audience, so it could be either to Mr. Miller or the consultants. Who would like to open it up? Okay, Vice President Fouché.
I would like a little more clarification on project management in the district board meetings, wastewater committee meetings, how that compares and is in line or parallel with the public involvement. And I would like a little more detail on what you're expecting to do for public involvement. Thank you.
Bauman, you want to handle that one?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here again. And to respond to your question, I think, as you have noted, project management and public information go hand in hand. The board is basically part of the public, represent the public. And so what we will report to you in our monthly reports will be consistent with what we will do with the community. And we look forward to your leadership about how to approach the community and what kind of workshops to have and how to present our information to them. As you may have noted in our scheduling, we have a number of milestones along the way. We don't expect to finish the work and come in at the end and here it is. It will be presented to you in several technical memoranda and various reports that will be completed along the way so that there will be ample opportunity for corrections if necessary, for explanations, for moving forward together. And so I think that answers the question, I hope.
And Bauman, maybe I can just elaborate some specifics. Six district board meetings and four wastewater committee meetings are the scope of work contemplated in project management. That contrasts with what was in the RFP, which I think was 10 board meetings and six wastewater committee meetings. So we pared that back to maybe a 60% level to try to save some cost and be more efficient.
If you don't mind, I'll just follow up. So what I'm looking at is the outreach towards the community. What kind of tools do you think that you'll be using for that? And I would also ask if these two tasks involve any meetings with resource agencies or regulatory agencies or county agencies.
The answer is yes. They do include meetings with various agencies, regulatory agencies. But basic tools are newsletters and fact sheets about the project, ongoing fact sheets that continually keep the community apprised. Content for the website of the district to update information on, available on the website, and workshops. I think workshops are going to be very important. These will be advertised well in advance, and there will be interactive workshops so that we can communicate both ways with the community. We had proposed earlier to have a separate website completely dedicated to this project, but to pare down on the costs, we decided to piggyback on the existing website of the district.
And I think that's a good way to go also.
If you have any other suggestions for other ways of approaching the community, we'd be very, very happy to hear from you.
Are you going to be here in the community during your tenure of the...
We plan to have many, many trips here and sometimes stay here for a week at a time or longer if necessary. And it's a very intensive work period.
Absolutely.
It's a very short time period to accomplish a great deal of work. So we expect to be doing a lot of it here, Dana and I especially, and the rest of the team as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Director, never do that. I'm ground. I didn't know. I grounded myself. I'm high electricity. Okay, Director Tacker, do you have any questions that you'd like to bring up now?
I'm going to wait.
Director Sennett?
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, I didn't see mention of biosolids management and, you know, if we're going to go to composting, because that was an element of the old, the prior project report. So that's one question, biosolids management. And how will you incorporate the environmental concerns of the different sites in the analysis? Seeing that this is kind of done before the EIR, how we incorporate that into our decision-making process?
I'll go ahead and take a crack at that one first, if you like. On task six, the scope of work reads, options for management of biosolids and their treatment, reuse, and disposal under all treatment technologies will be delineated and evaluated, including costs and benefits. So one of the things that the consultant, that's on page 5 of 7 of the Ripley scope of work, the fifth bullet. So we are going to look at biosolids as part of the effort. And one of the things that we really want to analyze is the effect of step stag on ongoing biosolids management. I know Dana's had some experience with the impact of the lower strength of step stag on biosolids, and that's one of the items that the consultant will be looking at, but they are going to look at biosolids for all the options. On your second question, having looked for the scope while you were asking, I think you were asking about the interplay between the CEQA process and what we're going to do with this analysis. Is that correct?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Okay. One of the things that the district will want to do in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and in my view, is retain an environmental consultant. This team will be coordinating with that consultant. For instance, when we do narrow it down to two sites, we want to have the environmental consultant already on board. You know, give us 5 weeks to look at sites, narrow it down, and in that time frame, let's get an environmental consultant on board so that they can, in parallel with the meat of the analysis, the cost portion, look at the environmental aspects of those two sites. So that's something that we want to do in parallel, and that's what's been contemplated, about a 5-6 week lag between environmental and technical.
Director Sanger?
I think during that 5 weeks that the site analysis is going on, that you should stay in touch with a couple members of the board, because we have people who have made careers out of CEQA analysis of public works projects. And I bet we can give you 80% of what you're going to need, if not more, in terms of maybe 100% of what you're going to need for that first cut analysis. And then if there's any detail, then we can follow up with that. But we can provide a lot of guidance in that 5 weeks.
Well said.
And I'd like to remind everybody, this is a not-to-exceed contract, which means we don't have to spend $513,000 just because that's the amount that we've got targeted. We think it may take that. But we'll be looking to cut corners and save money wherever we can, obviously, because that's in short supply. And from my own personal thoughts, I know some people maybe are wondering, why step stag again? Why are we looking at that again? It's been looked at by the county. It was looked at by the previous board. From my own perspective, you got to remember, that was the environmentally preferred collection system in the previous board's EIR. It was thrown out for cost reasons. This same time, the information that Andre, or the out-of-town site, was the cheapest of all of the life cycle costs, the cheapest treatment plant site in terms of life cycle costs. That was in the facilities report. It was withheld from the EIR. So I don't know what to believe about cost analysis that was done previously. And that's why I want another independent look at the cost of an effluent collection system. I want a real, real dollar look at that. And then the community can decide whether or not the technical issues, the cultural and institutional issues will allow that option to move forward. And by that I mean, if you don't know much about an effluent collection system, you keep your septic tank in your yard. Your leach field isn't needed anymore, but you'll have a tank in your yard. And there'll be easements that'll be needed because we need to come out and inspect and maintain and keep that system operating, and we will not be allowing property owners to do that. There'll be a district set up to do that maintenance. And some people, honestly, have expressed reservations about that. They don't want that anymore. However, we need an honest look at the cost of that, and then the community can decide if that's the way they want to go. If we're going to save a lot of money that way, maybe it's not so bad to have another utility worker coming onto your property to make sure your tanks and system is operating properly. So that's why, personally, I think we have to go back and look at that again. It was the environmentally preferred in the old EIR. So I want a good look at the cost of that. That's my thoughts.
Director Decker?
I just want to piggyback on, I understand Chuck's tenacity in wanting to look at STEP-STEG again. What concerns me is the new conditions for the State Revolving Fund that were added this fall through the Blakeslee negotiations, and I don't know if that's statewide, maybe it is, but obviously onerous on Los Osos. And then, you know, if the cost is less to have a STEP-STEG system, but then it's more to finance it through the State Revolving Fund by adding those conditions, that's what I need to know. And I need to know about the money part. And what I'm afraid is that the state has killed that option. But I welcome the analysis because I want to know, and I need to know. We all need to know. But that your analysis will include a life cycle cost and the energy related to the STEP-STEG from every home having a pump. Mr. Ripley, would septic tanks have to be moved? I remember in the old board's discussions about STEP-STEG and having to move septic tanks from backyards to front yards because of accessibility for district employees not going in backyards with dogs and other things.
I think that'll be part of our analysis. We'll propose some policy statements on that score. And I would also like to say the comment about electricity for step pumping. And I'd like to put that into perspective for the whole system. And I'd like to do the existing system of the Montgomery design. And I translate everything into kilowatt hours per acre foot. And I want to look at it that way, both ways, and look at the power consumption per acre foot to pump it from the house with a step system, and look at the power savings at the treatment plant due to solids issues. And I think that's important. In terms of the word sustainability, I think power consumption is tops on the list for that whole sustainability concept, because it takes into what I call not only the physical footprint of what we're dealing with, but also the environmental footprint, which takes into account global warming, carbon dioxide, the whole bit. And I think we need to do that.
Yeah, Madam President, one other aspect there. The analysis on page 2 of the scope does talk about looking at the higher cost of funding if you went with the state revolving funds step concept, all the things that you have to do to meet their requirements, which ultimately in the final analysis, if you have to go to a Prop 218 vote either way, you'll look hard at your funding, whether you want to go state revolving fund or private financing. One of the other benefits, and I think one of the things that came out strong in the interview process, is that the Ripley team also has some contact with some facilities that are going on over in Florida that are large-scale step-stay retrofit of existing communities, which we hadn't really had the benefit of that that same thing, and there are thousands of connections going on over there and some projects where we've got contacts now. So we'll be looking into their experience as that's actually in ongoing, that construction. And so we've got some sister communities now that we can look at in that whole analysis. So.
Director Decker.
Actually, what I was going to say, what Rob had just said, and thank you, Rob, for your clarification. But also, as far as the step stay and our SRF loan and the negotiations, I'd just like to say that I don't feel like it was killed, as you said, and otherwise I wouldn't even want to look at it. I just said take it out of the scope. But no, I don't feel that it was killed. There, it is constrained. There are certain requirements that that was reported to us by the State Board as far as an SRF loan and the type of step system that would have to be in and the criteria that would be applied to that. But it's still a viable alternative.
Okay, remember, not the whole board was there, not the whole community was there. And when you came back and we agreed to compromise, step was gone. And so that's why I'm still under the impression that the expense of adding grinder pumps, replacing all septic tanks, and yes, Mr. Barrow, that's what the state revolving fund was going to require of Los Osos, is a grinder pump. I don't think it's necessary, but that is what they were requiring. So what I thought it was gone. So I'm pleasantly surprised that it may not be.
And I think just from staff perspective, I think it's accurate that at the time, again, having to put broad numbers on things in the course of those negotiations, the requirements for separate electrical service, grinder pump, 100% replacement, all those things in the context of just looking at collection, not its impact on treatment, did rule out that option, or at least made the gravity option being fully designed and ready to move forward with contractors mobilized. That was the nature of the compromise.
We have to keep in mind, too, that those we were also at the same time on that compromise trying to save this SRF loan, and staff has looked at extended period private financing as a possible option, only on a cursory level. So there's nothing to say that if we got alternate funding, remember that was SRF loan funding, that, for example, why can't we vacuum test existing tanks? What is the impact of a septic management program on the viability of sustaining the filters and things vice a grinder pump? Everything comes back into play then if we don't hang our hat on the state's promises.
Thank you. Vice President, did you have more to say at the same time? Yeah, I just to add my two cents to that, and then I think Rob said it pretty well. The reason in those negotiations that step stake fell out is we were trying to salvage everything with the state. That was one of the reasons it kicked out. It was still viable, and the costs were considered, but we were trying to salvage. And with the hopes that we could still analyze it in 6 months, if you recall, we're going to try to do that. So that's what I remember, too. I have a question about... how in detail were the consultants planning to investigate alternative financing? And where would that show up in this plan? Would it show up in each section? Or what would be the approach of the alternative financing?
I think I can address that one. Once the project is selected, the Task 9, which is the comprehensive project schedule, requires them to look at alternative project delivery methods and advantages and disadvantages, just reading from it, of financing the project with 20-year SRF loans versus longer-term private financing, looking at design-build, design-build-operate, design-build-operate finance, and those alternative methods would occur in task 9 at the end of the analysis. And some of that also, yeah, is in the last bullet on page 7 of 7.
Thank you. I also had a question about public involvement and public project management. And Mr. Sheik mentioned newsletters, fact sheets, website content, and workshops. Would you also be responsible for producing press releases of activities in conjunction with the district?
I think there will come a point at which we'll be ready to release the press releases, but I think it will be sometime down the line, and it will be in consultation with your staff and yourselves before we do something like that. However, we'll be available to press, especially local press, if they have questions about what we are doing, what stage we are at, how far we have progressed, what alternatives you're looking at. But we probably won't have anything definitive to tell them in terms of conclusions until much further down the line. That's why I think that the press release would be appropriate toward the end of the project.
That's just, I just see that as a need that we currently have that's not being filled by staff, and we could use some assistance with that in conjunction with working with staff. So another question I had while you're there is, you mentioned some of the meetings you're going to be attending, 6 board meetings and 4 wastewater committee meetings. Are there any plans at this time to meet with out-of-town groups that have come forward or ag exchange groups? Are you planning any meetings in the line of work?
There will be a lot of informal meetings with individual farmers, individual property owners, and those that may have an impact on some of the alternatives that we're looking at for sites. But the ultimate acquisition of sites will be a function of the staff and the district.
Okay. And then I have a question. How do you typically relate with environmental consulting while you're doing your work?
Very closely. We work very closely with environmental consultants. In fact, one of the criteria for evaluating sites in addition to cost is constructability, feasibility, environmental impacts, possibility of mitigation for those impacts, and any help, by the way, would be very much appreciated in those regards if the environmental consultant is not on board yet.
So typically in a non-LOSO-SOS-ish project that you work on, you don't have environmental consulting as part of your firm, but you subconsult or whatever. That's how you would normally?
Well, I personally have had quite a bit of experience with environmental work. I began my career with writing EIRs and EISs in California and Colorado. However, working with consultants that do environmental works as a specialty is nothing new to us, and we do not have any time specified for doing environmental work ourselves, but we'll definitely take input from other consultants and work with them closely.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ripley, did you have something to add to this?
With respect to most of my work with environmental consultants, usually when we're in the master plan community development business, which I'm most of my career's in that, the environmental consultant is retained by the county and paid for by the developer. And I work for the developer, but everything I do, there's a microscope on me by the environmental consultant that reports direct to the county, which is the lead agency. So it's really like this. It has to be. And if I'm going in a direction that the environmental consultant is not comfortable with, there's a correction very quickly.
Okay. And how soon would you anticipate needing that, similar to what Mr. Miller said? Is that 4 to 6 weeks with this accelerated schedule?
Yeah, I think the critical issue from my perspective, usually when I'm retained for a particular project, my client owns the property or he has an option on it. It's this piece of property. The difference here is we don't know which property, if we have a cooperating landowner, a willing or an unwilling seller. So that's the key thing, and I think Rob is correct that we have to accelerate that quickly. What I want to do and my team wants to do is we want to take a look at, you know, if you look at my proposal, I don't know if any of you noticed, the photograph on the cover. You know, that's courtesy of Mr. Google. But that's at the 50,000 foot level, you know, elevation. And we have to come, our altitude has to come down. It has to get lower and lower and lower. And as we get lower and lower and lower, we get more and more specific. And all the, oh my goodness, issues come out. And it's got some site constraint that we didn't see at 50,000. So it may be a little bit of an iterative process. We may come down in altitude and then bang back up and then come back down. So that's critical, and for you folks in the environmental community, I think what we need to make sure is that we don't get locked on a piece of property that, you know, then we come down to the 2,000-foot level and we've been at 2,000 feet too long. We need to make sure we have the broad perspective, and the last thing I want to consider is a willing seller. I think we have an example of a willing seller, and that kind of decision-making went awry. We don't want to get caught. And so I think that has to be, I mean, Rob is absolutely correct. We have to really fly on that one right now.
Thank you. And I missed this because I wasn't part of the interviews or your process, so I apologize about this question. But did you consider Brodersen? Is Brodersen in the mix of evaluation or not at this
sure.
stage?
Sure. You know, Brodersen is an option that's defined. It's, frankly, at this point, a backup option.
Yep.
I mean, the preference would be to get more bang for the buck from a gallon perspective. Just one note also in reply to your question on the treatment plant location, written right into the scope is that they have to provide a visual and community acceptance analysis, so not just looking at is it big enough, but also can we screen it, can we hide it, can we deal with the community factors.
And then my last question, and I don't know if it applies at this stage, is there any analysis or writing about that 218 process and when it should start and how it should start?
Good question. And task 9, again, once we have a beat on the project and the detailed scheduling, we've asked them to consider Measure B elections, 218 elections, and how that fits with the entire process. And even before task 9 happens, staff is very focused on that particular aspect because of your funding limitations. Your board may decide to move forward on that sooner rather than later. So we'll be ready at any point once we have a definition of the cost to go for that.
Vice President Fouché.
To follow up on that, Rob, the cost estimate, 218, is going to be based on the cost of this project. And I should be asking Dana, what kind of a contingency factor are you assuming at the end of this project report? How sharp will your pencil be on the cost estimate?
Very good question. Again, most of my experience and that of my subconsultant Mid-Valley and engineers is for master plan communities. A lot of our clients are publicly traded companies, and bottom line dollars are very important. You know, if I were to say, you know, the numbers coming out of this project are plus or minus 10% or plus or minus 15%, you know, I would be very happy. You know, a plus or minus 40 or 50% to me is unacceptable. I think we've experienced the price appreciation over the last 2 years in materials and concrete. We know that the China issue is stale information. We know that. I think we're going to have a good handle. I think inflation and construction materials, you folks work for Caltrans, I think it's settled down, isn't it? I know asphalt just went, you know, it's come down. So luckily, we're not going to be caught, I hope, with the appreciation that occurred over the last two years. So from a costing standpoint, I feel much more comfortable that we will not be, you know, looking at a 40% mistake. I hope we're in the plus or minus 10%, 15% range.
Mr. Miller, you have great experience with the last project in Task 7. The windshield surveys and for potential sites for recycled water. I think we know pretty much all of that. And, you know, I'm hoping that we can cut some cost on this task with the data we already have. And I remember when the Coastal Commission found substantial issue with the project that they advised the previous engineers to go out, and we hired a real estate firm to go and talk to farmers, and we have, you know, albeit stale information today, but I think those conversations could be regenerated, and we have sites of and interested farmers that would be interested in the using the wastewater. We also have an ongoing discussion with the golf course, and so I think we know, and we also know capacities for schools and other whatever turf areas that are in town. So I'm hoping that this task can be cut in cost with the data we already have.
Yeah, I think I can respond to that a little bit, and I think that will allow us to weed out, I think, a number of the contacts that we could be thinking we have to have a lot of meetings with, you know, say the sod farm, but we know that there's some interest there, or hope there still is. Also, I think with this team, you'll have an advantage of having, through you know, Dr. Rohr and Bauman, folks with a lot of farmer background, other than, you know, a real estate appraiser, cold calling, somebody who talks the talk, maybe knows some of the same people. A lot of this is based in relationship and the ability to communicate a very complicated issue. So we're certainly hoping for more success and also a different approach, not just, hey, do you want it, do you want it, do you want it, but what are the whole range of options, lease purchase, lease back, you know, what are the things that are out there in the industry that are more creative than just knocking on doors, and we want them to look at that.
I have another question, and some of these questions I'm asking for the benefit of the public who at home who might not see the proposal in front of them. Could you speak about the proposals addressing constructed wetlands and or energy production? I really appreciated Mr. Ripley explaining how he focuses on sustainability and energy and kilowatt hours, but are those components part of the evaluation?
Yeah, they are. As part of the treatment plant technology portion, we'll be looking at various technologies. I know Ripley's group is a fan of anaerobic technologies where they're applicable, just because they don't have energy inputs associated with them or minimal energy inputs. Also natural systems, things like ponds and wetlands that have minimal energy inputs are all over this scope. And so that's something we want to advance. One of the challenges of those technologies is the difficulty in removing nitrogen to the very low levels that we had specified for the old project. But when we look at ag exchange and alternative methods of disposal, we might be able to have a significant portion of the flow that doesn't have to receive that nitrogen removal, and therefore we can look at lower cost treatment technologies because the standard for treatment is lower. It's still tertiary, but it's not tertiary down to 7 milligrams per liter of total nitrogen. So we take the blinders off on that and gives us some more flexibility on technologies.
Anybody else? Vice President Fouché?
We have some submittals to be expected from Cleith and Associates, at least one that I know of, and that's the analysis of the upper aquifer, the characterization of the upper aquifer. I'm not sure what the due date is on that. Is that something that's going to be available to the Ripley Group to use in our analysis?
I don't know the firm due date on it, but I know they're already proceeding on it, so I would think that absolutely in the middle of this process we'll have that data. Okay. And so one of the water management options that they've been asked to look at is use of the upper aquifer for alternative non-potable uses, and we should have that data at the same time so we're not making false assumptions with what we've got up there in the upper aquifer.
Are we still doing the nitrate modeling on with the thinnest task? I thought that was one of the things that was discussed in the proposal.
I don't think we're doing a lot of nitrate modeling as part of this task, and maybe Dana could address that.
Okay. There's
a reason.
Thank you. A good question. We discussed that internally. I had some communication with Gus Yates that did the original, the static. And he was critical of his own work because it was a static model, and his interest was developing a dynamic model. He gave me a proposal for that. I did not have any numbers. Because of the fact of Bauman's experience and Dr. Rohr's, I mean, we've got the foremost, some of the foremost authorities in nutrient management, you know, in Ag Exchange and Dr. Rohr's expertise in VetoZone. I'm under the opinion now that we have enough from Gus Yates on a static model for this stage, and that is to say we're going to look at the budget. If any of you recall the presentation I made, it looked at, you know, the existing, the Montgomery design and the nitrogen loading to the aquifer and a potential with Ag Exchange. And I just used Dr. Jovanoglas's textbook, nitrogen denitrification numbers out of the soil, and we can refine those more. I think the Jovanoglas numbers were conservative. That is to say they didn't represent the total amount of denitrification that we could achieve in the soil. So I think there's enough information. I don't think we need to spend dollars at this point. We may want to in the future. We may, you know, at the conclusion of this aquifer study, we may want to go into the dynamic groundwater modeling that Gus Yates proposes, but I don't think we need it right now.
Okay.
I think the numbers are going to be so definitive with what we have that it will not be an essential component of this phase of work. It may be for the next phase.
Okay. Well, I've got you there, Ms. Ripley. One other question. How do you see your analysis of step stag as far as the septic tank management on private property and how we would manage that, responsibilities, easements, how that would be handled? Do you?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that and on this project and other projects and some master plan communities that I'm involved with in the San Joaquin Valley. I'm proposing to my client that the homeowner's responsibility be limited to paying his monthly bill. That's it. And that the responsibility for the control system, responding to alarms, the septic tank, everything is with the district. And we are proposing, in a number of cases, a creation of CSDs for new communities. So they will be on the CSD format. With elected boards, usually the county board of supervisors takes an intermediate role until the population increases. But I am an advocate of the homeowner have zero responsibility for that system. And if I can get a tank in a public right of way and I can swing it, I will. And we're looking at probably for new developments where we can design everything, intensive use of the cluster concept. That is putting multiple houses on clustered interceptor tanks. And I think the efficiencies are going to be terrific.
And do you see any difficulty in getting the easements that would be required to do that?
I really haven't studied it other than I looked very carefully at a community up in the state of Washington, Lacey. They have, you know, I can share the website with you. I can share the documents. They have very specific easement documents, and it's just a routine matter for them.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam President, I want to just amplify on that a little bit. One of the things we will want to look at is the form of the easement, if it's, say, you know, a blanket easement, because to write a specific meets and bounds legal description for every property would be an onerous task, to say the least, because you are not actually the entity that will force folks to connect in this process, which is one of the whole phasing things. You can certainly set requirements, just like you have to retrofit your toilets. If you're going to connect to our system, you have to provide adequate easements for that connection so that the district can maintain the facility. So that whole interplay, there are some policy questions there that you'll have to grapple with, but I think there's some models out there that you can follow. Yes, it has been done.
It has been done, and it has been successful.
Yes.
And some of the kinks have been worked out in other places around the country.
Yes.
It's not brand spanking new.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions on this side? Any questions?
I think the other thing you come down to is some of the incentive fee programs that other agencies have used, where if you don't hook up or there's a problem, then there's some type of a fee that's assessed. And it's a combination of things to where you use an incentive to hook up, like for obtaining the easement.
Mr. Ripley?
A minor comment, just a quick passing comment on incentive. It's called a sledgehammer. It's called AB 885, and it's coming. And
yeah.
The homeowner has a choice. Either you do it this way or that way. And connection to this system is going to be child's play compared to what AB 885 is bringing down.
And Mr. Ripley, two questions on that. Brief discussion for the public's sake. What is SB 885? And then what is the difference between a dynamic and a static model? Just the low science version, but some things you mentioned.
Okay. I may ask Dr. Sheik to come in on that. The first question again. AB 885, that's a statewide legislation that's currently in draft form. The State Department of Water Resources has an AB 885 website, so you can keep track of the latest versions of the new code. I don't know if you've posted that website on the district website. You can put a link on so people can go there. And if anybody's interested, I have the version dated March 16. There's a version dated April 2005 that's on the website. It's out of date. And just for those who are AB 885 watchers, the variance provision has been removed. So there is no variance provision in the current code, in the current draft. The issue of dynamic versus static.
It's basically very simple. The static things remain the same over time. The dynamic time is a major function. You use differential equations. You take the processes of nitrification, denitrification, the volatilization, all the things that happens to the various species of nitrogen in the soil and in the water are modeled through time as opposed to taking things statically, which is a simpler way to do things. And the amount of sophistication involved is not really justified by the amount of information that's available about what the processes are doing in the soil over time. So that's one reason most people do static analysis.
Great, thank you. We have a very interested and educated community, and they like to know things like that. So just thought I'd bring it up. Is any other questions from the board or staff at this time? I'd like to open it up to the public for their comments, please.
Al Beryl, good discussion tonight, good board participation. The level of understanding is reflected is very deep and broad. So I'm excited that the two environmentalists on the board will be able to bring the project along environmentally until you hire somebody. I think Rob Miller's text is thorough and revealing, and I would ask that in the next coming meetings that they put it up on the board so that people can see each one of those, that they are not just the prices but all the rest of it. And I would like to say that I have the greatest confidence in the world in the Ripley team. They're highly qualified. They're very experienced with Los Osos. And Dr. Ruhr has been down this road since 1983. Is that about right? So he was on the technical task force that was formed by the county. He's very informed on the nitrates, on the basin, on the groundwater. And I think we should have the utmost confidence in what they're doing. I know they're not designing a project, which would be nice too. I would also like to say that the grant committee is working hard on finances. Don't forget that the county had put us in for $19 million, so we need to qualify for that maybe next year. I don't know, but there are other finance options besides borrowing money from the state or private borrowing. Fallback, I just want to mention that if something should happen and this project does not go through, the on-site is a fallback, and the Piranha systems can treat to the same level as a discharge permit. And I'd also like to talk about the permits for a minute. We can apply for a different discharge permit if we're discharging differently. Is that not correct? Discharge requirements? Nitrogen, all might be lower. Maybe Ripley can answer that. And I think that we're in good hands, and I like this approach a lot, and I think this approach will be very productive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Ms. Calhoun?
I think it had already been addressed by Mr. Miller. He said that if we have options for disposal regarding farmland and that kind of thing, we will have different discharge requirements.
So we can get a different discharge permit from the Water Board?
That will be looked at in that's going to be looked at. Okay. Yes, Ms. Calhoun.
Ann Calhoun, Los Osos. Something occurred to me when I was listening about the probability or difficulty there might be with easements as far as, some homeowners not wishing to hook up. And my recommendation, of course, is if there are homeowners in the prohibition zone who do not wish to hook up, then we just need to leave them to the tender, loving mercy of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I think Mr. Ripley mentioned a hammer somewhere along the line. Finance, I don't know if that information that was given from Jack Schaefer on an alternate federal financing might be bounced over to whoever's going to look at that. I had a question on Mr. Ripley on the RFP proposal. It mentions, is it a Northern California city of, was it Stevenson or something of 18,000 people that are getting step stag? If I read that right, was that a brand new planned community or was it a retrofit? And if so, I assume and I'm curious about how they set that up.
Mr. Ripley, if you have a quick response to that question, that'd be great.
To answer the question of the community of Stevenson, it is a small existing community of about a population of about 600. They've got serious water quality and groundwater quality problems. My client is proposing a new community, and total population for the entire community plan will be 18,000. So we are, in essence, doing the water and wastewater for the new community and providing extensions to take in the existing community. And that community has severe groundwater issues, both on quality and quantity. Groundwater elevation comes to about 6 inches of the surface. So we have no choice but to put a pressure collection system in. And that was a difficult issue for me personally, not with the county or the water board, but with my client. And my client finally realized the economics. He's done the economics both ways, and he's sold on step now. And this particular community is absolutely flat. There's no topography, and so everything will be step.
Just a brief comment for you. I'll get with you later, but what Ms. Calhoun was talking about was a wastewater expert who helped write the Clean Water Act, Mr. Jack Schaefer, that she referred me to, and he had some suggestions on alternative financing and funding that seemed doable and perhaps with less strings in the state revolving fund loan. So I'd like it to be considered as in your thing, and I'll get you that information. Mr. Brewer?
Peter Brewer. I was reading this great letter, but I guess Dan Blesky wrote it to the Water Board. And gee, I wish that would fix like the problem. But I guess, as you know, we've been exchanging emails. I've done some research in AB 885, and it turns out, we can't even have it. It's actually not that bad a hammer relative to what's being done to us now. Because our streams are considered impaired and Morro Bay is considered impaired, and because we're contributing to that impairment, most of AB 885 will not affect us, except for one clause, I think, that says if, the cost of replacing your system is more than 0.5% of the total, value of your property, then you're eligible for financial aid through some public agency. I assume it would be the CSD. Unfortunately, that would be a loan through the SRF process. So it's like, anyway, the bottom line on AB 885 is I talked to the guy who's writing it, and he said that, you check your septic tank once every 5 years, and you look at the solids once every 5 years. I'm like, gee, that doesn't sound that bad. And he goes, well, people actually don't like that, so we might have to change it. He kind of inferred that because people aren't really liking AB 85 that much or having problems with it, that, like you were saying, it won't be, I think he was saying January 2007 before it probably comes out, and then it doesn't really start till 6 months after that. So if anyone's interested. Hey.
Thank you, Mr. Brewer. Mr. Payne.
Good evening, Lisa and board, staff, public. By the time the Regional Water Quality Control Boards read my submission of material for defense, they should, if they really read it, they should call off the hearing and the CDOs before they even bother to have a hearing. There's enough information in that showing the illegal test wells and the trumped up nitrate, so-called nitrate pollution. And then when you go beyond that to the septic tank leach fields and find that under the leach field at Bay Oaks or Oak Ridge Estates or whatever that unit's called, the B&V study underneath the 6 foot under that leach field showed the nitrates were lower in the leachate than they are in the groundwater beneath it, which says that we're not only not contributing nitrates to the groundwater, we are actually diluting the nitrates in the water. Think about it. If the leachate is less 6 foot beneath a leach field than the groundwater beneath it. And here's another thing. If we're going to ship all of this I can't think of the term. Effluent. If we're going to ship all the pipe, all this effluent, pump all this effluent out of town to a ponding system or whatever, we're not going to be replenishing our groundwater. If we run it back up to Broderson and pump 800,000 gallons a day in there, we know what the hazard of that is, called quicksand. For those that don't understand liquefaction. The point is, there is no rush. We are not polluting the bay. There is no rush to do anything, and we got a hearing on 28th. We'll see what turns out from that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. McConnell.
Honorable board, staff, friends, Joey Ricano, Ocean Outfall Group. You know that I've always, since I came to Los Osos, been a proponent of a regional system. Morro Bay and Cayucas recently were sent back to the drawing board to shorten up their allotted time with which to come into compliance with the Clean Water Act of 33 years ago. Everyone is at the same point in development of a wastewater treatment facility. Wastewater treatment is not the only issue here. We don't need a wastewater treatment system. We need a water system. I've heard Director Cecenia say this. We need to replenish our aquifers. We need to recycle. We need to eliminate intakes and outfalls. We need to build the system of the future, and we need to build it in the present. Monies would be available to regional full tertiary systems. And also legislation that would shield us from regional board threats would be available should we do a regional full tertiary system. The idea of a regional system seems to me to be the one that makes sense. And I had gave to you last week a copy of a booklet that was a feasibility study done by Morro Bay in 1996, and it covered a lot of these things. Unfortunately, there is evidence to suggest it was squelched by Cayucas. But like I've made clear, Cayucas is mired in financial shenanigans. So Los Osos is not the only one that's had their difficulties. However, the regional board sending them back to the drawing board really opens up the door now to a regional plan. And I hope that you'll keep it in mind that at some point we'd like to have a joint meeting of Morro Bay and Cayucas. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Scheib?
Hello, Rob Scheib. Couple questions. The wastewater collection system seems to be the largest part of this process in terms of time, and I was wondering how much faster this project would move on without that portion involved in the process. Unfortunately, the county and the CSD board in its prior form have wasted a lot of our time, and I'm not sure. Basically, I think we need to move forward with this rapidly. In addition, how would the loss of the Stepstag influence the price on other parts of the project, like the project management, public involvement, the treatment technology, if that would also decrease those significantly? Two more things real quick. Regarding the pipes that are over on South Bay Boulevard, I don't believe we own those, but what would it, is it going to cost us anything to move them and get rid of them? And then one more question is for Mr. Ripley. I've heard that he was involved in the Monarch Grove and treatment facility that they had there, and if he could explain his involvement in that for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scheib. Mr. Miller?
Yeah, Madam President, I'll take the first cut at those, and I'm not sure that I got each one of them, so those you can prompt me if... this collection system, I think the answer is yes. I think the first cut at it might be in proportion to the size of that task. You know, if that task is 15 or 20% of the overall budget, you might save that 15 or 20% on those items that are related to it, project management and community response and so forth. Dana can certainly answer the Monarch Grove question if he likes. I do have personal knowledge of that also, knowing that Mr. Ripley did the permitting phase of that to address the nitrogen balance, the nutrient balance, and get it permitted. It was designed and constructed by a totally separate firm, so he was not involved in the design and construction of that facility, which I'm pretty familiar with it. So,
can you just the pipes question?
Oh, the pipes. Will it cost to move them out of the way? Because we don't own them. I'm not sure that there would be any cost. They're probably being sold off right now is what I would think there.
Mr. Bleskin.
I don't know the status of that.
Our claim specialist had been in contact with Bernard, and this is one of the bone of contention we have with them. Basically what it is it's their responsibility to take care of all of it. They haven't been paid for that. They actually front-loaded the schedule and brought that pipe on board, so... I can get a detailed report later on, but I'll put that more than likely. It'll be in my status report at the next meeting on the status of that.
Thank you. Director Cesena?
I would just like to add that saving money on the project report is a moot point if you wind up with a process that's going to cost the community a lot more to operate in the long term. I mean, we've got to look at the long term here, the 30-year, 40-year picture. So to save... even $100,000 right now, if we're going to wind up with something that down the road is going to cost us three times as much to operate, just doesn't make sense. And Dana, you have something to add to
Mr.
that?
Mr. Ripley. It's okay.
I don't pretend to be a philosopher, but I think everyone in this room is involved in making decisions for not one, but two, three, and four generations. That's what we're making decisions on, is we're making the decisions on the lifeblood of this community for the next three to four to five generations. And I would hope that the service life, Rob, we're going to push the envelope, and we're going to look at a service life of 100 years. I think we have to. And I think the technology is there to do it.
Thank you. Mr. Ripley, do you have anything that you'd like to add about Monarch Grove for the public's sake?
Yeah, I would like to say that, you know, I know there have been some issues and some negative press about that facility, and I drove out today. There are design issues out there that there were some shortcuts taken. I was proud of the fact that between 1998 and correction, 1988 and 1991 or 92, I had the opportunity to permit those facilities, that facility, and I know that without that permit, those folks in Monarch Grove would not be residents of Los Osos.
And may I just ask one more question about that? Again, you were on a permitting phase that was prior to design and construction? Is that how
yes,
it worked?
Yes, I bid.
Did you do a project
report?
Or,
yeah, I did. There is a report on file. I can provide it. It's on
for the negotiation phase to move forward with these consultants. I hope the people out there realize that after all this time, this is really a historic point in your history, and to have Dana Ripley back and Mr. Sheik. And that I had a lot of things I wanted to say, and I'm nervous. But just reading through this, it's just the preliminary outline. What Dana just said about this being a time that you're looking out to preserve the history of the future for this community, that elderly people have come up and asked you to look into state water. Go state water. We have a water shortage. And others saying, go regional, go regional. We're in this small contained water basin, this special place of Los Osos, and you now have experts in our state, in a leaders in the water industry now. And Dana, in this proposal, says this is about an integrated approach to effluent disposal and treatment with the goal of maximizing the sustainability of the community's water supply. And that's what you're trying to do, so that state water, the people that were around during Governor Brown's time, when that was the mantra, big water projects, big capital projects, and the money isn't there anymore, and we're different now. We're the next generations, and we have experts that have been studying this for decades, and they're ready to go now to implement what they've been studying. And we're so lucky to have this, to go forward with this. And I think when now that you're starting to do this, whatever these suits and discord, when you start moving ahead with these experts, the money will come. I'm not a rosy-eyed optimist. There, I follow commodities markets and projects worldwide, and I have utmost confidence in you to work with them and look forward to seeing what comes out of this. Also, just a brief reminder, the last meeting when but let me just go remind everyone that what you did by contract or putting out proposals for your new wells, you're moving your water supply to safer wells and always keeping an eye on what our future needs are for water supply also in that way. And you've taken very positive steps that didn't get coverage in the press about refurbishing an older well, putting in three new upper wells that are going to balance the upper and lower basin. And also I would like Mr. Rob to explain more about the role of in situ and the septic management program for people that are fearful about imposition on their private property with the septic tank management. Things are very different. Mr. Blesky said something that since the old project, many things have changed in technology. There's been improvement.
And in situ's scope has now been nailed down and will be brought to you next week. But they're going to be looking at the management aspects of the on-site technologies and the current septic systems out there, how we get those managed in the interim as a mitigation.
Thank you very much. Mr. Beard?
Don Beard in Prohibition Zone. How many times do we have to kill a step-steg system before it's dead? A step-steg system is not sustainable. What happens to the septic tank pumping in the long run? How long can the Santa Maria wastewater treatment plant continue to accept septage from Los Osos? They have a real wastewater treatment system. How much will it cost the pumping your septic tank every 4 years, how much will it go up? The cost of gasoline is going up. If they have to haul it all the way to Santa Maria, it's going to continue to go up. Is there any limit to how much it will go up? At the present time, you would have a very difficult time to install a new septic tank in my backyard due to high groundwater. You probably have to install it above ground. It's going to be a nice sight to see a septic tank, another one in town above ground. How many people have a spare circuit breaker in their power panel? The STEG system needs a dedicated circuit breaker from your house to feed the power for the grinder pump and the control system. If a STEG system is forced upon me, you will have to condemn my property by eminent domain. How many others feel as I do? Who's going to pay for the new septic tank? A new septic tank, are you going to absorb the cost of that? Is that going to be paid by the district? Or is the $10,000 to $20,000 going to be paid by each individual homeowner? It'd be a nice thing to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bearden. Mr. Miller?
Madam President, I think Don brings up some good points. And I think for those in the community who heavily favor the gravity solution, this will be a process that they'll want to be intimately involved with also. This is a process that they'll want to be involved with also because, I mean, I guess the answer would be one more time, that this would be looked at in a holistic fashion with consideration for treatment impacts of STEG. And I know that there's some frustration when it seems like it's been looked at in the past. Those reports were referenced in the RFP, and those won't be lost. All those analyses are stepping stones to get to where we are today. I mean, even having, say, the Florida project where you have a similar community, even larger community, retrofitting to STEG, those are things we didn't have a few years ago to that degree. And so in this changing landscape, it's difficult to explain how things have modified and the need to look at it again. But I think the answer is one more time.
Yes, thank you. Vice President Fouché?
The other question was about hauling sludge to Santa Maria. Can you address that, please, Rob?
Yes, thank you. There will be a
I would prefer that we wait till next week to do that, unless I have some on the CDO stuff at this time.
Madam President, we can put that on basically the announcement part of the next regular agenda.
It's not really an announcement. It's a clarification of one thing.
Okay, just go ahead really quick, because it is supposed to be just about this.
I've had at least one person talk to me about defending them individually, and that is not the purpose of the PZLDF. I thought I made that clear, but I would like to make it clear that the people that have received these CDOs, we will be defending us if we need to, and we want to wait till we go to the state level, above the state level. So it's not for individuals, it's for the people as a group, and I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moylan. Ms. Cooper?
Okay. Hi, I'm Lacey Cooper. Okay, I have a few questions, so I'll just list them. On task 10 on the sheet, you talked about decentralized and or on-site wastewater treatment system alternatives, and it says that that's not going to be that's omitted, so I'm assuming you're just looking at other alternatives. And I wanted to ask why that, you know, what about that? The other thing I wanted to ask is, I guess this is a basic kind of elementary question, but is the recharge associated with the reclamation reuse part of this proposal, looking at that? And a brief definition of recharge would be good for me. And the other thing is about the STEG. My understanding was that you'd have to, if you had the gravity system, you'd have to move sludge anyway, depending on your treatment, I think, your treatment plant. And I guess I was asking, I want to ask about criteria. I was glad to hear that the Ripley group was talking about constructability because of the, I would like the step stag to be looked at again because of price and alternative financing. Also of environmental things like having to dig so deep with the Indian sites and the environmental problems, the constructability of digging trenches in sand is actually much more problematic than people have, I think, been led to believe. And so I just wanted to ask about all the criteria, how they're weighted. You know, I know we are a lot of talk about affordability, which is fine, but there's a lot of other issues there too. And I think a clarification, there was an alarmist kind of newspaper article that said everybody's going to have to replace their septic tanks with the Ripley, you know, if the Ripley group comes on board. And that would be nice to hear, you know, a response to that. I'd like to hear that. And then the other thing is, when you talked about it wasn't quite clear, the pre-screening, the different sites. Is this done by the Ripley team?
Of adding to what your groundwater supply is, you're going to pump it out and drink it later. The reason that the Ripley team feels that recharge options have the highest risk is because when you look at the regulations, how they developed over time, there's a continually ratcheting effect on recharge options with higher and higher requirements, which translates to more treatment costs. And so the Ripley team, at least as a preferred option, is more interested in direct beneficial reuse instead of sending it to the ground, getting hit with the increasingly heavy regulations. They're advocates of direct reuse where they can achieve that, and Dana can supplement that if necessary. As far as the need to remove sludge from the community with any option, that's absolutely correct. Even a gravity option with the conventional plant has sludge. All options have some off-site component ultimately. And, of course, the whole idea is to minimize that, minimize the fate of our finances as a function of what other people are doing and deciding. And so that is an element of the analysis. Criteria. I want to emphasize that that will be developed in concert with the board and the community. There are not a set of selection criteria yet, other than cost is very important, obviously. Not only capital cost, but life cycle cost certainly is the major criteria. But the weighting of that and how that plays out is going to be very public, not here's what the consultant came up with for criteria, but coming up with those collaboratively with the community. As far as everybody replacing the tanks, that is a possibility, but it's something that we have to look at as part of the analysis. I know that there's some very good tanks out there that are built by a local precasting concrete company. But one of the things you can do with the analysis is if you look at virtually 100% replacement and it's still cheaper than gravity, obviously you have a very conservative look at it, and anything below that is gravy from that point on. So you'll see a range, I think, of replacements and replacement percentages there is the appropriate way to do it. As far as pre-screening of sites, that will be the Ripley team, and they'll take a very broad view, again, that high-level view of many, many different sites. But as they hone in to spend the bigger dollars, it's going to be two sites that rise to the top in that pre-screening for things like easements and physical on-site constraints, drainage, that sort of thing. And so that was something that we got direction from the board on that. Initially, we had five sites, and this would be another $100,000, and we can do that. But I think the board's direction was a little leaner and meaner and looking at two sites after the pre-screening. And I hope I hit on all
got
the
all.
Questions.
Mm-hmm. Got them all. Thank you. Mr. Ripley, do you have anything to add to that at this time? Okay. Mr. Edmonds, welcome. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Madam President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I've been a resident of Los Osos for 30 years. I believe the majority of the community would simply like to see a resolution to this matter. I believe the proposal you're considering tonight is overly broad and too expensive, and I urge you not to buy into this hook, line, and sinker. 5,000 pumps operating. There's a reason gravity's been used in human civilizations for hundreds of years. It works. It's not energy intensive. The life cycle costs alone have been identified as the fatal flaw in considering this. And of course, the financing. There's not an abundant amount of financing out there. This board and prior boards have looked at the availability of financing. We need to get the state loan back, and we need to qualify for it in its entirety. I think there are other sections that have just too much meat in them. We're talking about a $500,000 contract for 4 months. That's $125,000 a month. What can possibly be done for that kind of money? Tasks 1 and 2 are too expensive. Tasks 6 and 7 are too expensive. This notion that we're going to be using ag exchange and so forth is overstated. We need to do one thing with our treated wastewater, get it back into the Paso Robles formation. That's it. No more. So, again, I would urge you to par this. I think the consideration of step stag is completely unnecessary, and I'd urge you to shave both 1, 2, and 6, and 7. We have 120 days, and I would respectfectly submit that it'd be nice to shave that down to about 90 days. I think this is crucial. The perception of the part of the public in Los Osos, generally and outside, is that we're not doing anything. That's the perception. It may be mistaken, but that's what it is. I support this board. I believe good things can happen, but it has to happen quickly. And I think you need to conserve your resources because this is going to be a long haul. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please. Who else would like to speak? Pat? Ms. Renshaw?
Hi, Pat Renshaw. I just wanted to ask a few questions. When would we know if this project would be accepted by the Water Board, if that's possible? And when would the Water Board decide? Would it be something that would happen immediately? Would we know as soon as the system was planned, this part of it was done, or are they going to hold off and you know, make us sweat it out? And I wanted to know who is designing the project, if we know that, and what the criteria that's being looked at, and would the designer also do the construction, or is that another party that we have to know about? Let's see. I wanted to suggest for the power usage that we look at solar. I think there's a lot of alternative energies out there that we can look at to help deter some of the costs for running the systems. And one thing, if something happened and we did go with the big system, would we be the dumping ground? Would the Water Board force us to take, like, Cayucas, Morro Bay waste? If we had a big system, would that all
staff, and as we propose technologies and approaches, we'll get that live feedback so we can take that into consideration, not that it is the only consideration, because ultimately the regional board doesn't dictate the technology to the community. They do dictate the requirements that the technology has to meet. There is another element of acceptance, and that is with the State Water Quality Control Board. If you do decide to pursue a state revolving fund, you will have to consider their willingness to accept as well, and so that this project report will need to meet those thresholds for acceptance if you do pursue the state revolving fund, and that'll be an element of things like the step stag analysis. Here's an option that will be acceptable by the state board. Here's an option that won't, and they'll both be in there. You won't have a brand new permit and a formal acceptance by the regional board until you submit what's called a report of waste discharge, which is an application for a new discharge permit. The reason you don't do it now is because it is site-specific, it's project-specific, and so you will do that on the same sort of a track that the old project went on. You finish the project report, finish the environmental document, submit your report of waste discharge. But if you have beneficial reuse, protection of beneficial uses of waters of the state, then I have no reason to believe that that won't be accepted by the regional board. I think in general they want to see a project advance. They put new staff on it, and they're working collaboratively with district staff. They really just want to see this thing advance and be protective of water quality, so we'll get that feedback throughout the process. With respect to design, a design firm has not been selected and won't be selected until the completion of this project report, and that will be another independent process, a request for proposals, and a selection process. Same thing for construction management, will be selected down the line. As far as solar, I know the Ripley team has proposed solar for some of their other projects. There may be some climate conflicts here in Los Osos, given our climate, maybe less so east of town. But I know that Ripley has looked at that for other projects. And then as far as taking wastewater from other communities, that's not part of these options that are being looked at as part of this process. I know there was some public comment tonight about discussions with Morro Bay and Cayucas, but that would be outside of this consultant's scope of work. And I hope that answers all the questions.
Great, thank you. Mr. Swanson?
If you wouldn't mind, before I start my time, Mr. Edwards made a lot of statements that I'd like to have Mr. Ripley respond to regarding the step as far as the cost of it. According to all of these phases that are in this proposal, I think he needs to address that for the community as well, if he could.
Okay, Vice President Fouché, and then Mr. Ripley.
Mr. Ripley, as you get up there, come on, please, the podium. But I would like to address Mr. Edwards' questions and also the normal time frame for a project report for this size, what that would normally take, because this is, I think, a fairly accelerated schedule. And maybe what a normal preliminary engineering, which that's what this is.
Groundwater hydrologist that's dear to my heart that I've worked with for 15 or 20 years, I can't remember. And I rely on him. He is my left leg. I can't walk without him in these projects because Bauman indicated issues of anti-degradation, issues that he's dealing with in Los Angeles. The anti-degradation concept, I haven't heard much of it out of the Central Coast office, but it's a dominant issue in the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board and Los Angeles. And we have to look at all wastewater contaminants and look at them individually and how they impact surface and groundwaters. And so that is surprising that this Central Coast board, that issue has really not been on the table to the extent we have to deal with in other parts of the state. John, other questions specific?
The issue of power.
Okay. Wait a second here. Wait a second. Director Tacker, what are you saying? Could you repeat it out loud?
Well, Mr. Edwards is in the room still. Task one, task two, six and seven, was that it, that he thought should be shaved down? Could you elaborate?
As I've indicated to staff, I believe at the end of the day we need a defensible project report. I think I look at it as an integrated whole. I can't take pieces. A gravity collection system would be starting with whatever the numbers were to get it to Tri-W and then from Tri-W to the east. And I believe that the whole movement east of town, I've been an advocate of that, as you know, for a number of years. I think the step steg is an absolute critical component of it. I don't think you can afford to go east of town absent with a gravity system. And I think the implications to the treatment design are tremendous. We've talked about building gravity sewers and sand down to as deep as 18 feet below grade and high groundwater issues. If you just pick up the newspaper, in the last 2 weeks, all across the country in California, massive INI issues, spills over and over again with high wastewater flows in rainfall events. It's a horrific problem on our coastal communities. I'm hearing stories about, Greece is a very common problem with
with gravity collection systems. And when it rains and the flows increase, the gravity sewer system surcharge, and by surcharging, I mean that spill. I mean, literally, manholes can come flying out of the street. So there are a whole host of issues. And to answer Mr. Edwards' question specifically, I would ask him to hold tight for 3 or 4 months and be involved with the public review process that Bauman indicated. We're going to come up with specific interim reports on specific subjects, and I would hope that individuals that have questions that become actively involved in that process as we go forward. And with respect to chopping specific tasks, I don't see it. I see it as an integrated whole, and it must be whole, because at the end of the day, if we have a component, a very critical component that's missing, the project report won't stand. It simply will not stand.
I've got a couple. It's limited. You know, it looks good on the surface, but the cost to administer those loans and also the experience of this community can't be lost on how the state is going to have in the future its finger in your pocket for the rest of your known natural lives. And that... Now, that may be something that's worth accepting, but when you look at the ability of private financing on design-build contracts and other options, you have to ask yourself if that freedom's worth it, because anything that goes on in the Valley when it comes to the management of your wastewater, you will have to overcome that SRF pale, that cloud that's going to hang over you. Many communities will not bother with it for that reason and that reason alone. So you get more flexibility in being able to go for others, including private financing, because you can adjust your term. And that, if you're going to have to borrow money, will be something to consider. Although it may be more expensive in the long run, your rates may be lower. So it's not the panacea of all completion. And, yes, it requires a 218 vote. The reason why is because of Los Osos.
Thank you. Mr. Ripley? And then I have a question for you after you finish.
I have the simple comment that I agree with everything Mr. Bleski said with respect to SRF loans versus private financing. I'm not at liberty to discuss some offers that are out there at this point, but I hope in 2 or 3 months we can discuss them. And I think the SRF loan simply may not be worth our time.
Okay, Vice President, did you have a question or comment? Mr. Ripley, I have one too for you.
Not a question, just a comment. I just want to say I appreciate everything Mr. Edwards said and asked some very valid questions. But we doing this in 120 days is really lightning fast in the engineering world. It's just very quick, very quick. So I think to say that we're not moving quickly, I think is not quite accurate. This is very fast. And it comes at a cost, but we feel that we need to get this done. And I think the scope as presented, to pare it down any more than what it is, I disagree with Mr. Ripley that we need to look at all of this. I think the amount of work that's associated with looking at step stag, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars total. If you look at the collection, it's 60-some thousand dollars. That includes gravity. How much did we pay for that model that was sitting in the lobby over there? $22,500 we paid for that model sitting in our lobby for a long time. This is not the time to shortchange this project. This is the time. This is the time to do it. And do it right, do it very fast. Let's hit all the bases. We're not going to shortchange the beginning of this project and have a blow up at the end. That's what happened the first time around. The last project, they didn't do a lot of things up front that caused the back end to blow up. And that's not what we're going to do today. So we're doing it very quick, but we're going to do it right. We're going to take a real hard, honest look at what it takes to sustain this community's water supply. And that's what we're here today to do. We want to do the right thing for our children, and that's what we're going to do.
And why it is advantageous to reevaluate it now. A lot has happened since 2001 when the project report has occurred.
Yeah, thank you. First off, step stake technology, the fundamental technology with the septic tank effluent collection is a septic tank. And that technology is, I believe it's, you know, 130 years old. And as Rob indicated to you, I am really an advocate of anaerobic treatment. And the reason I like anaerobic treatment is generally it doesn't consume energy like aerobic treatment. Most sewer plants are aerobic digestions, which requires oxygen. That's why it's called aerobic. Oxygen in wastewater requires energy. It requires aeration. Anaerobic treatment, on the other hand, does not. It goes septic. It uses a completely different biochemical process. And so the fundamental concept of the septic tank effluent system is over a century old. What's developed over the last 2 and 3 decades is the technology to take advantage of that anaerobic treatment. And granted, there has been a lot of advancement of anaerobic treatment in conventional treatment plants at the tail end, at the solids processing end, at the conventional sewer plant. But there's also been a parallel development of the technology of anaerobic treatment in the collection system, which is at the individual septic tank. The technology that's been developed on that size has got to do with pumping vaults and biofilters and control systems. Bauman and I were talking about what we want. We want to push the envelope a little bit in Los Osos. Because as we indicated, we have all these little pumps. And let me say, the septic tank, by virtue of the fact that it drops out the solids, allows us to use not a grinder pump, which was the issue at the state revolving fund, but a high head vertical turbine pump, which has the highest efficiency in terms of, I call it wire-to-pipe efficiency. Then it's the amount of power to the amount of water that pushes out. And the efficiencies, Rob, go up to 60, 70%, which a sewage pump is an efficiency of 30%. It's phenomenal, the efficiency of the pump itself. At the treatment plant, there's terrific efficiency because the BOD in the suspended solids has been reduced so far that the treatment cost in terms of in power consumption, I get back to the kilowatt hours per acre foot, can be half or a third of what a normal conventional plant would be. And then with respect to controls, we've got all these pumps. Yes, we have 5,000 pumps. I would hope to do it for under 1,000 pumps, but I'm not there yet. I hope we can get there with the cluster concept. And then we have to control all of those pumps. You know, there was an article. Did anybody read the San Francisco Chronicle today? You ever heard of Google? Google won a contract today. Does anybody know where they won it and what the big deal was in the paper, in the Chronicle? They're putting the Wi-Fi system in San Francisco. Yeah, the Wi-Fi system, the wireless internet for the whole city. How much is it costing the city of San Francisco? Part of it. And that's where my team is. We're looking forward. And I have a young engineer here that's 22 years old, and we're going to pass this on to the next generation. I think that's what we're talking about here. We're talking generational issues.
Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Swanson, would you be adjourned?
Okay, Keith Swanson, Los Osos. Yeah, even the EPA encourages all of this. I mean, this is, we got to go to sustainability, something advanced. We can't stay in the old ideas. Gravity pollutes, period, every time. Mr. Bearden brought up some things that it's just like can't do attitude. I mean, if you don't have room on your circuit board, you get a subpanel if that's necessary. I mean, there's ways around all of this if you just look and look for it. I guess one question that needs to be posed to Mr. Ripley is, and if he can stick his neck out, is I think what the community wants to know, are we going to save a lot of money? Because that's why we're here, that's why we're changing, and if it's, you know, because we defeated the last project because it's $205 to begin with a month, and that's unacceptable. I guess, hello. Sorry. Hello. It's technical difficulties. This isn't Wi-Fi, no. You lost a power amp. Take a break. I'll come back. Lisa.
Let's take a break, please. Sound is lousy in here. The acoustics are lousy, so we need you to be quiet in the back. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much. It's just curious that Mr. Edwards, Jeff Edwards, you kind of question why he's so anxious to get this going. Is he's a developer. The other problem with the collection system that we had before was $70 million. And if we can save a lot of money in that, plus the bids were way too high, and I was glad to hear that he said that 10 to 15% over, but 40 to 50 was unacceptable for bids. I noticed some of the language in here about community acceptance. Well, if we leave the no parks component, the park component out of it, we won't have a problem with that, and that will expedite the process. I do have a question about the environmental process. If with all of the work that has been done by Montgomery Watson and all of the other environmental documents, everything that's been done, that does that help expedite the process a lot? And maybe you can address that a little bit. A lot of stuff here. There was something that was in here, gravity collection and pumping consistent with the coastal development permit and conditions and utilizing 100% design drawings and cost estimates prepared by Montgomery Watson Harza. Well, we already know that even the portion of the design that we're aware of was flawed. So we got to be aware of that, that the grades were incorrect. And I know that the State Water Resource Control Board and the SRF funding brought up the fact of a grinder pump and also said a pedestal and maybe a separate service drop. I think we need to address that. I think all you need to do is run another. Did you cut me off? Okay. I guess the bottom line here is there a retainer fee for Mr. Ripley since our funds are frozen? How are we going to pay for this? And I totally disagree with the fact that they froze the money, because what if they froze it for the fire department, the water department, or something else? We still need to build a project that's mandated by the water board. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm waiting for Mr. Blesky to get back, because that was a question I was going to direct to him. So here he comes. Mr. Taylor, could you just hang on for just a sec? Mr. Blesky, Mr. Swanson just asked, with the funds frozen right now, how are we planning to pay for this?
What we've looked at is we have the MTBE account, which has about $490,000 in it. And we do have authority from August, and we have to research this more.
But that funding, we were allowed to borrow up to $500,000. The board had passed, I think it was in August, from the water fund. We have to take a look at that resolution to see in detail if that included the MTBE account. That's what's in the bank account. The other is that we have an LAIF account in Sacramento, and I can't remember what that an acronym is, but there's $801,000 in that account. $9,000 in that account was the remaining proceeds from 801 minus 9,000 that we can borrow from.
Thank you. Mr. Taylor.
Yes, George Taylor, Prohibition Zone. I just couldn't leave this one alone. Mr. Edwards got up here, and he's talking about a gravity system here in Los Osos. Now, I know that every one of you sitting up there knows that this was not a pure gravity system. There were 11 lift pumps that were designed into this system. And those 11 lift pumps, they were going to use more energy by many, many fold than those all the little pumps that we will have in our septic tanks for the step tank system. And I just wanted to make sure that everybody out there in Los Osos land knew that what he was saying, that it's so that we were going to have a pure gravity system here, that pure gravity system as old as the Ark and such like. Well, that's all fine, but it doesn't work here in Los Osos because we're on old sand dunes and we're up and down, and we have 11 lift pumps that were designed into the old system. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, good point. Mr. Cooper.
Bo Cooper. What George says is exactly right, and it's really important that people know that out in Los Osos land, as he says, the gravity systems had a lot of disadvantages. Also, I want to mention that to confirm what Chuck has said earlier, and Lisa has said it ever so many times, on the draft environmental impact report back from November 2000, CEQA requires an environmentally preferred plan, which was the, I have it here from page 310 of that report, the collection system, step stag by far was the most preferred, then step stag hybrid, then the third and final choice was the gravity. So that was the least preferred. The unpreferred choice is a step stag. And also just, this is from table 8-4, the treatment sites, top was Andre, then Holland, Morrow Shores, and then Tri-W. So the Andre site, which I take as a representative out-of-town site, was by far the preferred in the draft environmental impact report. Very important to know. For what it's worth, I have other graphs. Page 8-3, table 8-3 from that same report, it compares the Tri-W site to various other spots, including Andre, geology. Andre has less impact, drainage less impact than the Tri-W. It goes on traffic, air quality, noise, public health, visual resources. Overall, Andre has less impact. Again, representative of an out-of-town site in the draft environmental report. My understanding is that we'll have a supplemental report according to the new Ripley thing, but a supplemental report based on this kind of report. So that's important to know. The other issue I have is the affordability study. I've kind of lost track of what's going on with that. I think that's certainly importantly tied into what we can afford and what's.
And we had the title was Affordability Study and Economic Impact Study. However, the body of the document is written as an affordability study. And the debate right now that came up in committee was that, was it appropriate, you know, there was a discussion regarding the inclusion of an economic impact study in the affordability study. And right now, we need to do the affordability portion because the economic impact portion is an EIR requirement. They're both equally important, but for us to move on with what we need to do about the rates, is to keep the affordability study focused on the affordability at this time. I'll bring more back. I hope that answers the question. I'd be more than happy to do any follow-up, but I'll have that in my general manager's report. It's not out for proposals yet, and we're going to have to take a look at the impact of what we anticipate that cost in light of the judge freeing our funds. Excuse me, freezing. That was, I think I said freeing.
Freeing. You were wishful thinking.
Freudian slip.
Director Tanker.
Mr. Cooper, the draft environmental impact report was later certified and became final in 2001. So just so you know that it is final, and that is the determination of that report, and that the out-of-town alternative, including Stepstag, was the environmentally preferred project.
And just to further add to that fact for public interest, that's the environmentally preferred, and the only way you can get around that, only way a governing body can get around that, is by doing what's called an overriding consideration. That's what the old board did. It was based solely on community desire for parks. That's why we got involved and started arguing so heavily, because it seemed kind of like not a very strongly held community value, and we thought that was not a really good overriding consideration for ignoring the environmentally preferred alternative. Mr. Perlman.
Hello. Alon Perlman, Prohibition Zone. I try to put in a quote from a major movie every time I come up here. The Big Lebowski had a comment by the sheriff. He told the other Lebowski, he told him, "We have a nice little coastal community here, Mr. Lebowski. Don't mess it up." He also, in the same scene, he talks about someone. I don't want to egg on Mr. Edwards too much, but Mr. Edwards does draw a lot of water in this town. But his comments are good. It's true what Mr. Taylor said about the other costs of the gravity system and the pumping and electricity. And I think you guys know this, but since these were definitely food for thought, his comments, and well-measured. Currently, you're in a regulatory environment that may really still be killing Stepstag. And part of that regulatory environment is you really don't know where the other foot will drop. A lot of brownouts and maybe blackouts. I talked to Mr. Miller on the break, and he did inform me that should there be two-day blackouts occurring, there are ways to manage that type of situation, local power grid agreements. But I think that is an area that has to be looked at when you're looking at that, not just looking at our static current environment, but really projecting forward to the future. Rainfall, for example, maybe at this time we should be looking a little bit about things like cisterning some rainfall, particularly in areas such as above Broderson, where since we would be putting nitrates into the soil even at a lower rate, we wouldn't want the rainwater coming from above to wash them further into what we will probably have some leach fields in town in the future, no matter which system we go. But thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, too. Mr. T. Catch.
James T. Catch, Los Osos. I'm extremely encouraged after reading the proposal tonight about the prospects of getting this study completed. I hope nothing happens to keep that from happening. I think it's going to be refreshing for the community. There's a lot more people awake now that weren't awake when this project went from a beautiful pond system in the middle of the town to a conventional treatment industrial plant in the middle of town. I hope those people pay attention now and look at this process. I'm hoping we have the opportunity to bring people like Mr. Edwards into the process and make it a community project this time for the betterment of all the community. I'm encouraged about the prospects of looking at constructed treatment wetlands and wet weather storage. I think those are integral components. I'm happy to hear Broderson is still on the table, at least as a backup system. I think it's important to have for wet weather. Although I've always opposed Broderson, I could support it at a much lower flow and as a backup system. I think the great Achilles heel of this process is the comments by Mr. Bearden tonight and even to some extent Mr. Edwards about the septic tanks. I know when I was out in the community prior to the election, I was shocked by the number of people that said they didn't want to keep their septic tanks. But I'm wondering how that perception would change if we save them $100 a month, you know, on their bill overall, if they have no responsibility with regard to the upgrade and maintenance or upkeep and maintenance of that tank. I understand the issues with regard to easements and people coming on your property to maintain that, and the problems associated with that. But then remember, with a conventional system, you also have the problems of lines getting plugged and backing up into your house, and as was presented earlier tonight, with heavy rainfall having infiltration and overflows. So no system is without its problems. Therefore, I think the opportunity for the community to see this analysis, and this is an extremely rushed schedule. I think it's going to help the community come to a conclusion that we can get a much better.
Ms. Owen?
Good evening. Lindy Owen, Prohibition Zone. I think we've just turned one big corner that I've been waiting for years to see happen. I'm very thrilled to have the team that's been put together, and especially to have Tom Rohr, who's, I think, one of the most talented soil scientists on the planet. So I think we're heading the right direction. I wanted to basically just put out the analogy that we've been hearing more and more about a fuel energy crisis, and we were about to get stuck with some really high payments on a brand new Cadillac, got 6 miles per gallon, but we now are buying into a hybrid car, and we'll be ready for the future a lot better than if we had gone forward with what we were. So, and then just on a really nice note, this afternoon I was walking behind the Tri-W site, and there's purple toad flax growing there, wildflowers that have never grown there. So maybe it's symbolic. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. Ponding, wetlands, egg exchange, recharge, seawater intrusion. That's where the criteria is. Now, collection system, I hope this doesn't slow us down. I don't think it will. I'm looking at this as if Measure B doesn't exist. I expect that to happen. I don't think to pursue it if it gets overturned. But I still think that you're going to try to keep the spirit of Measure B. And looking at all the systems and sites that are available and narrowing it down like you said you were going to. But just remember, Measure B may not be there next week. Operating and maintenance, energy efficiency and sustainability. They're all going to be in there. What we're going to get out of Ripley is a chance to look at it, pick a system with sites, two sites at least. So it's going to work itself out. The money, the funding, oh my. I think once you guys get rolling, I think eyes will be open on higher authority, and I believe that they're going to start mediating towards solutions. That's the only thing that can happen. They cannot not allow you to build something. And if you give them a good enough project on a good enough site, it's going to go on its own. I've been looking at codes and statutes and policies, and Tri-W, as it stood as a plan, if brought to the state and all the other agencies today, would not pass muster. It would not. It has to include all those things that I just said. If it does it somewhere in the phase of it, you don't include all these things in the project for recharge, for wetlands, for all those things, it will not pass muster. I was at the regional board, and I mentioned these very same things after they had a presentation, their future of the Central Coast. And it's everything you guys talked about. And I reminded them of that. And little lights went on in their heads, and you can see them start writing stuff down. It was an amazing thing to watch, that just the power of suggestion of something that they heard.
The Tri-W site, good, bad, indifferent, is a known, and half the population here know that it's permitted, takes care of the water, and it's done in 2 years, know what the cost is, and they know it. And they say, fine, we'll accept it, be done with it. It's a known, okay? I believe the Regional Water Quality Control Board says, hey, this is a known. That's, you know, do it. And what has become obvious is that the out-of-town site wasn't designed and didn't have a finalized plan. We're taking it from step one. I'm not going to say that's good or bad. Just let's be transparent. That's what we're doing. We're taking it from the development phase, you know, going to get a proposal. And then in September, we're going to review that proposal. And, you know, it's going to be 5 years before we get a plant built outside of town. Something simple as environmental impact reports. We have to cross a creek with all of our sewer to get it out of town, okay? I have a feeling the Coastal Commission and the Army Corps of Engineers, that's not going to be one or two meetings, and they don't schedule those meetings 1 week after another. It's 3 months later, it's 6 months later, and it takes time. Fine, but that's just it. So in the meantime, to get a plant out of town, it's 5 years down the line. You're going to be paying $200 a month from the fines from the Regional Water Board because they see a finalized solution and they want it implemented. But we're going to be paying $200 a month, and then 5 years from now, we'll have that out of town. And the cost of it, I don't know. Will it be the same? I don't know. Will it be more? I don't know. Will it be less? I don't know. But that's what we're getting here. Is it good or bad? I'm not here to judge. I'm just telling you that's what's going on. It's not going to happen in 2 years. We will not have a plant up and running in 2 years out of town. It's more like 5 years out of town just because of the process. And we're starting over. To quote Julie from the 23rd meeting of this last month, we need to hire somebody to get a solution. Okay? That's where we are. We're starting the process over. And again, I'm not here to say it's good or bad. I'm just telling you, be honest. That's what we're doing. This solution is 5 years out, lots of problems, probably more lawsuits. There's the cost of the lawsuits in this too, all right? I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that's the cost. The plant, getting the tanks taken out of and replaced. There could be a hazardous waste fee with those tanks because they have built up items in their concrete. Concrete's porous and it sucks things up. So anyway, don't mislead us. We're talking 5-6 years out for this plan, where the original is 2 years in this known fact. And thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please. Mr. Miller, do we have a timeline?
Once you have this done, Task 9 will look at all the elements of the timeline. And then we'll have that transparent meeting and say, here's the points at which you could be potentially subject to litigation. Here are some of the potential delays. And we'll have, and I think the speaker's correct, we need to be as transparent as we can. I know the one difference this time is that you do have, the project had never received a coastal development permit before under the county. You do have one now.
Well, we have a community that wants their sewer out of town. We're going to do it right this time, and just like John said, it's about our kids now, and we've got to sustain our water. I have other comments I'll save for later.
Thank you.
Madam President, I have one comment on that. I think the speaker's, the use of 5 years is really not too far off, but really we don't know. But that in mind, let's go back to the Blakeslee's negotiations. And one of the things that becomes quite apparent to measure the accuracy of the speaker's remarks and his judgment was that one of the things was to extend the contract or the completion date 2 years so we could relocate it out of town. So we're talking 4 years. Well, of course, we're 6 months down the road already. So that time frame, you know, even though we don't know the specific, I think you are looking at the 4 to 5 years or whatever, you know, I mean, in reality. And I think that's even a crunch, too. So, but we'll find out. But I think the speaker's right on the mark. And it's never been, I think, the board or any staff members wanting to portray what the completion date was. But we can gauge it by that four-year mark that Mr. Blakeslee, his talks resulted in.
Thank you. Mr. Margetson.
Richard Margetson. I have to respond to the Jeff Edwards comment earlier where he dealt with, he talked about the fatal flaws in the old plant were its siting and its disposal, that those were the two major factors. I believe that this community believed that $205 a month was a major factor. I believe that accepting bids at 46% over engineer's estimate was a fatal flaw. I think those are the things that the community is most concerned about, those numbers. The site was very important, but it wasn't just the site, and it wasn't just the disposal system. And I've heard him in the past say that, you know, let's just get it done, and if we have to import water, we'll do that. If we could import water. Here's a couple numbers to consider. Oceano currently pays $986 an acre foot for Lopez water. In 2 years, their contract goes to $1,575 an acre foot. If we could get state water, how would you like those unknown costs coming in every 2-3 years in a jump in rates? I have to go back to Keith's question about how you're going to fund this. Mr. Blesky said that there's 480 some thousand in the MTBE trust fund. Am I not correct that part of that money is already allocated for a study dealing with the water supply? I thought this board had allocated some of that money to that. And that resolution, I also think, has a mechanism in it that describes how that money will be repaid. And I actually think you may have a bylaw that states that any money that are in here, these two tables, there's actually a flaw in both of them. I hate to bring it up now, but the 513,400 actually is going to be 19,200 more, or wait a minute, 20,600 more. If you add the numbers across in the total man-hour fee by consultant in the bottom table and in the top table, total professional hours from left to right, those numbers aren't going to add up. And the difference is going to be $20,600 additional dollars.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you repeat that last sentence, please?
The numbers in the second table from left to right, the dollar amounts, don't add up. And that number is going to be $20,600 more than the 15,400. Or the, sorry, 513,400. And if that we could get that addressed, or what happened there.
Thank you. Just a question. Director Sassania just noticed: is it the non-team 20,006 that wasn't added in?
That's what it is. But
okay.
Is that going to be paid at some point?
Mr. Miller, could you answer that?
And Madam President, I would say that staff is going to recommend a not to exceed of the 513. I know from a consultant perspective of putting together man-hour estimates for a very large effort. You know, you put a budget on it. The numbers should add up, so I don't want to imply that. I really appreciate Richard going through the effort of multiplying all those numbers out rate by rate and looking at that. Amazing. But 513 is still the number as far as I'm concerned. That's what the consultant proposed, and that's what we would propose to the board.
So the non-team member part of this isn't going to be a part of the 513.
Or other tasks would have to relax a little bit in order to accommodate a balanced approach there.
Just there was a couple of questions that the speaker brought up. One is on the LAIF. We've looked at all the cash accounts, the actual bank accounts, and we've gone through and determined which ones have mandatory protections on them, and we've cleared all that up. And the 801, like I said, is the LAIF, and it looks like it's a it is an investment account that seems to be the repository of our the majority of our other funds reserves. Mr. Markison's correct too, is that we do have a draw against the MTBE, so that's why we have the two that we're looking at. We know we're going to exceed that amount if we do borrow against that.
And the other question he had was about retainer.
Oh, I'm glad that got brought up. Similar to what, if we go back to when we did the road repairs with Whitaker, we're looking at when the award's made, we would put any amounts for the contract into an escrow account, but the of doing business with the CSD in our current situation.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, is there anybody who has not spoken that wants to speak? Mr. Payne, you've spoken. No, sir, we're having that next week. This is a special meeting, only one comment per person tonight. Okay, I'm closing public comment unless I see anybody else who has not spoken yet that wants to speak. Okay, we're bringing it back to the board. Thank you, everybody in the public and the audience, for your excellent questions and comments. Much appreciated. Okay, back to us. What is the staff recommendation? Could you re-summarize, please?
I can do that, Madam President. Okay. I can mention that. Staff's recommendation tonight would be to award a contract to the Ripley Pacific team in the amount of the $513,000 and change the amount in your staff report to authorize the general manager to execute a contract subject to legal counsel's successful review. And then one amendment to the recommendation would be to establish an appropriate retainer and escrow process acceptable to both parties and approved by legal counsel to assure payment. So those three aspects would become the final recommendation.
Mr. Miller, could you repeat the third, please?
The third recommendation would be to establish a retainer and escrow account to ensure payment to a form acceptable to both parties.
Thank you. Bringing it back to the board, do I have any further discussion, questions, comments? Director Tacker?
Okay, responding to some of what I heard in public comment through Mr. Miller's elaboration on what the process is going to be. Number one, when we get to that siting criteria discussion, just want to go on record that I don't want recreational use at my sewer plant. No, it's not in there, and it's not going to be in there. Okay, I'm just... bird watching, maybe, yeah. Just not looking for an amphitheater, no dog park, no fluff, okay? Then there were some other comments, and I have to disagree with Mr. Payne. We are in a rush. There's 45 citizens, 45 homes that have cease and desist orders. I know one is yours, and my heart breaks for you because I know it's undue stress on your family and on your lifestyle, and it's a problem. But the other rush is that we have seawater intrusion. That's the rush. We need to be managing our water. It's not just about pollution. It's about water management, and that's what we are all about. So, which then is a nexus to something that embarked on another task, and that was to look at new wells in the upper aquifer to extend our water supply. If that water is usable, we can augment our water supply and prevent further seawater intrusion. Another requirement, and it's just plain common sense, water conservation. In 2000, our board adopted a water conservation plan. You didn't hear about it. And it wasn't until this board hired Wallace Group to update that water conservation plan. Rob's going to bring back a workshop this spring, and this summer our board's going to adopt a new approach for water conservation, adopting new best management practices for Los Osos. So our board's been busy. These things don't make the headlines. They're not romantic. They're not exciting. But these are the things that are important that our board is doing. A little bit in defense of Mr. Edwards. Mr. Swanson said something about him being a developer. Well, my daddy was a contractor and a developer for 25 years in Los Osos. I was his right-hand man. I dug the ditches, the footings, for homes in Vista and Bay Ridge, some probably 200 homes in Los Osos my dad was a part of. We have 500 vacant lots. We have people that have invested in our community. They're invested in our sewer. We're going to need their help to pay for a project. So you can't discredit someone because they have interest in our community or in real estate in our community. I look forward to the process. I wish it was faster, of course. I wish it was cheaper, of course. And Mr. Ripley, I am at your beck and call. I will be happy to help you. And I will do it as a volunteer. Anything we can shave off the cost of this project, I am happy to help. And you and I have had contact in the past, and I'm pretty efficient at those things. So please enlist our board's help. I've never seen a more hands-on board than this one. So I'll let someone else make a comment now, but those are some things that I had to say and get off my chest.
Thank you, Director Tacker. How about anybody else? Director Sennett.
Well, I certainly appreciate the Ripley team's enthusiasm, and it gets me charged, too. I think we're working at relative lightning speed in light of the encumbrances that we have with legal problems and things like that. And nevertheless, we're still progressing. I woke up this morning a little bit discouraged, and tonight I'm feeling very much assured that we're headed in the right direction. Unfinished work associated with the old Tri-W system. I'd like to see these questions resolved once and for all. And I think we have half of the project already designed, and we can truly get a feel for the cost of that. And the one thing we don't have is a component for the STEP system and the operating costs and things like that. Another big issue that was brought up several times tonight was the issue of intrusion onto property to maintain and operate these systems. I don't hear anybody screaming about having to invite the cable TV guy over, or the baked brownies for the gas company technician to come out and fix their furnace or their oven. The electrical, gas, water meters are all red. People intrude on your property. They own up to the meter. No one questions any of those people coming onto property and doing what is needed to service their needs. And I think people pretty much, unless they have a problem with their septic system, really don't pay much attention to that. And with the gravity system, you still have issues regarding clogs and roots and everything. You have problems regardless. And even in Paradise, last week there's a huge sewage spill in Hawaii, and it closed the beaches. It was quite significant, 48 million gallons. So, you know, I even think of, well, what happens if we have a spill of effluent? Well, that's effluent that comes out of a septic tank, and it's in the upper portions of the soils, and it'll be remediated naturally. You know, there are issues with pipe separation and things like that. Those are mechanical things that we have to worry about, but they're also, because of the pressure system, they're more flexible to work with, and we can work around these things. And I think this is a very, very essential component to our resolving our waste discharge from the home. The other aspect of being sustainable is really, you look at it and it's really a 21st century issue. It's like going to space. We realize our resources are limited on this planet, and that there are countries just in the grip of squalor as far as water quality. And here we have the technology and the resources to treat it and be able to use it. And energy independence and water independence, I think, are two very, very...
One question came up, Rob. I know the answer, I think, but the memorandum that's attached to this submittal by Dana from his engineering firm, that is included in all the costs. And our
yes,
table.
It is.
Okay, just to confirm that. Thank you. For the publics out there in TV land that hasn't had a chance to look at this, I just want to read just a couple of things from the scoping document about treatment plant site selection, just for your information, and I don't mean to bore you. Alternative project sites shall be analyzed in terms of the cost of raw wastewater and effluent transmission, community acceptance, flexibility for future activities and expansion, visibility from viewing corridors, environmental issues as provided by the district's environmental planning consultant, schedule for permitting and development, civil site constraints such as drainage and other criteria that could impact the cost, schedule, permitting, and operations of the facility. The Ripley team will provide a visual and community acceptance analysis of each of the sites, including a range of potential options for aesthetic and odor mitigation. At a minimum, all odorous unit processes, such as headworks and sludge facilities, shall be covered and the odor scrubbed. This analysis shall be coordinated with the Coastal Commission staff and the district's environmental planning consultant. I just wanted to throw that out there so people realize that we are... The criteria that we've and Ms. Ripley has submitted to us via Mr. Miller's Wallace Group firm, our engineer, I think is very exhaustive. Not exhaustive, that's not the right word. I think it's thorough. I think it's the things that we really want to be looking at, and it's the things that I think this community is concerned about, and it'll be an inclusive a project report that will give us a product that this community can look at and make decisions based on the analysis that will be given by the Ripley team. I look forward to doing the work with Mr. Ripley. I, like Julie, I offer my services any way I can to help us get us through this process over the next 120 days. It's very fast, and the engineering world is lightning fast. But we're going to do it. We're going to get it done, and I really look forward to having this done. So, it's a good. The scoping document's great.
Great. I think just to wrap up a few last comments. I think my colleagues have said most everything that I would want to say as well. Except in response,
I have one question for Mr. Ripley, if he wouldn't mind, one more time. Do you deal with septic tanks in high groundwater areas? I think there's a lot of questions out there about that, and I know you'll address it in your report, but for tonight, because we did receive comment.
Director Schicker, the answer is yes. I'll refer back again to my Stevenson project. Again, the groundwater I said previously was within six inches of surface. I should say it's at the surface during rainfall periods. There's no issue about it. And the surfacing effluent is a major, major issue. And we do have concern about locating septic tanks. Out of the septic tank in a high groundwater period, that tank will not pop out. And that's a similar issue we have with swimming pools in the community, and we will be anchoring swimming pools. It can be done.
Okay. That just a little bit of reassurance, because I know it comes up a lot, and I thank you. I'm sure it'll be addressed in the report. I can't thank you, the audience and my colleagues enough for this very thorough analysis, questions, answers, and details. And I don't know, but is this scope of work published on our website? I haven't looked this week, so I don't know. Mr. Bleski, is it on yet?
I don't believe it is.
Okay. Well, when we're through, I'd like to see it, you know, published for other people to read. I think it's interesting, because people at home can't hear what you're proposing, and I think they would appreciate that. Just a few comments on what I heard tonight about we're starting over. I don't think we're starting over at all. I think we're augmenting. I think we're updating and we're augmenting. I think we have a basic project report and we had a basic EIR. It's common that these things are updated and supplemented, and that's what we're doing. We're supplementing the EIR and we're updating the project report. We're not starting over from scratch. I think the community, some of the people who were concerned about what this board ran on, our promises, kept saying you don't have a project, you don't have a design. I hope the community realizes that we paid almost $10 million for a design from an engineering company. And this board has been working basically for free, using our expertise and donating time and effort and expertise. We've published thousands of pages. We've requested thousands of pages of additional help that will be used in this update process. It won't go to waste. The original design won't go to waste. A lot of the design and planning will be used again. The technical reports will be used again. We won't be redoing them. I just think I want the community to have a realistic expectation. And when I hear some of those critiques and criticisms, I think it's important that you realize how much things cost and how much your board has dedicated and committed itself to helping this community. And I would like to recognize my colleagues again for that effort. And of course, our financial situation is frustrating right now, but we're totally committed to this, and we're going to figure it out. We're going to lead you through this, and we're going to figure it out. And just to piggyback on what Steve Sennett said, maybe septic tank maintenance on your lots is a new concept, and this easement thing is new, but again, think about your other utilities. You've got cable, gas, et cetera. It's just that's the way it is. You don't think about it. It's taken care of, and it's a service that's provided to you, and that's the way it has to be. I like what Mr. Ripley said about the homeowner having zero responsibility. They shouldn't be expected to maintain these systems, and we can offer that help and arrange it so it is set up that way. So that's all I have. And again, thank you to the audience for the good comments and constructive criticism that we received. So at that time, I'm ready to entertain a motion, unless there's more comments or questions.
I move that we accept staff recommendation and award the consulting contract to Ripley Pacific for the wastewater facilities project report update in an amount not to exceed $513,400. That we authorize the interim.
Thank you. This is a very exciting evening. It really is uplifting. It's really great. I'm so excited. Can't tell you. Closing comments, and just to announce, we are having another meeting next week. It is a general, that's our regular meeting, public comment, etc. Mr. Bleski, did you have something you wanted to say for announcement?
No, ma'am, just when I'm asked.
Okay. Are we going to change the closed session again to 5?
or are we going to leave it at 4:30 for next week? What's the?
I would defer to the board and what their preference is.
Mrs. Biggs, do you have an estimate of what you think we'll need next time, or should we leave it at 4:30 right now? It's in the agenda that way.
I don't at this point. Depends on what comes back between now and then.
Let's leave it at 4:30 for now. Okay, so we're leaving the meeting next week, 4:30 for closed session, and it's going to be here, right? I'm still looking for my page, sorry. And then at 7 o'clock, our regular meeting. Are there any closing comments from the board that they'd like to make? Director Sennett?
I'd like to make a small criticism of Vice President Fouché. He promised he was going to give us water saving tips, and he's been a little bit remiss in the last couple of meetings, I've noticed. So because I'm going to make a little sermon here, because I tried at home and everybody flees, but I have a captive audience here. One thing I do is when I wash my hands, I turn the water off while I scrub. And it's like brushing your teeth with the water running. It's like the white noise that everybody, I got to have it on. And it's a difficult habit to break. But once you do, these little saving techniques translate into other awarenesses that you start to obtain and maintain for your life. And I think, you know, we say that we're going to relieve the consumer of all obligation of maintenance and care and worries, but these are our resources and we have to worry about them. You know, people think about saving water, but you're also creating wastewater to treat. So you have a double indemnity there, a double impact. And so it's important to maintain these philosophies in how you treat our resources. With any wastewater system, you have to watch what you put in it too, because it has to be treated. And if we do have a septic system component in our treatment system, that has to be cared for too, and what you put into it. It's not a just flush it and forget it. And truly, it never is, even if you have a conventional collection system. So that's my thing. I beat you to the punch, John.
Thank you, Steve.
The director's just saying it.
Yeah, in lines of water conservation, I think in a couple weeks, once the CDO issue dies down, we're going to be having some presentations on the water recirculating hot water. I'd like to address it. It does not matter who said it. That makes it personal, and we've got to take the personal out of this. I don't care if it's the previous board, Mr. Edwards. I don't care if it's Mother Jones. Let's just leave that aspect out of it. It's the ideas and the concepts that matter, not the people. We all have people we're angry at and want to blame for the mess we're in, but we're wasting energy that way. So we're going to move ahead with this fine team of consultants. I really appreciate what I heard tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. I'm not supposed to allow applause either.
And thank you for curtailing the hand clapping for most of our meeting, too. Thank you. I really like this. That says it to me.
Okay. Director Tacker, how about some last comments? Anything tonight?
I said enough in my comments on the item, so I'm going to pass. Good night.
Okay. Vice President? Okay, and my final comments are this. If you're here in the audience still, I thank you. And if you're at home, I thank you, too, for listening to these shows, because it's what I'm asking for right now, what is very important, is for you to be our ambassadors. If you believe in what we're doing, if you support what we're doing, even if you don't agree with every little thing, we need you to be our community ambassadors. We need you to be calling and writing. The papers, the agencies, the elected officials, the state water board, the regional water board, the governor, the assemblyman, the Slo County, the LAFCO. You need to be calling and writing. Any chance you get, a call, a letter, a note, tell them what we're doing. express that you are being served, if you believe you're being served, and explain that you appreciate local control. I think we're trying to do that. We're trying to expand our public outreach as much as we can. But as you know, all of us work. This is our volunteer slash elected job, and we need your help. And everybody, if you just did a little part, it would go such a long way. Letters to the editor, letters to all the editors, you know, blogs, you know, Ann Calhoun and Ron Crawford, unbelievable, and Steve Page now, unbelievable writers. These folks are creating history. They're writing. They're passing the message along. And all of you, I've seen the research you've done. It's fantastic. So I just like to encourage you to do that. If you need any assistance on reaching these people or networking, please do that. And then the other thing I'd like to say is this week, many of us were involved with the cease and desist order preparation. It was an intensive effort. The citizens did a fantastic job. They supported each other, and we want to support those efforts as well. Our attorneys assisted, and there is a huge case that has been filed with the regional board. We don't think it's the right way to punish us or to enforce with us right now. We're totally committed to a project. We want cooperation and collaboration, and we're willing to sit down. We're inviting everybody in, and that's how we want to run it. And I'd like to thank Mr. Brewer, Mr. Scheib, Mr. Moylan, and others for all their efforts in collecting this information. Mr. Brewer has a great website. Catch him. He's in the back of the room with all these documents that have been collected for this on it and all these efforts of all these citizens. And keep posted, because April 28th is that hearing. But we're still hoping that maybe the Water Board will reconsider this action against the citizens, because we are moving –